Hey folks, welcome into the Bench Bros Sports Podcast, where we're a bunch of sports junkies debating about the hottest topics going around in the world of sports. I'm Wesley Splane today. I'm going solo today because of the events that happened last night. Brandon's been recovering from a hurricane. Ant's doing whatever he's doing. I don't know at this point, but anyway, I felt like it was necessary to do a Friday episode. I haven't done an episode in a while. That's just because, like, work's getting to me, but whatever. I enjoy doing this, so I'm glad if you enjoy this. If not, then find other things to do, but this is one of my hobbies. I'm going to keep doing it, and et cetera. So anyway, we're going to be recapping Broncos-Colts game, make it kind of like a Broncos standpoint, since everyone's kind of been on that wagon already with the national media and everyone in my DMs and all the laughing that's been going on lately. And then we're going to do like a couple of picks for NFL Week 6. And then we're going to do a little college football action too. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But the biggest elephant in the room is, if you guys know me, I'm a big time Broncos fan. I loved the Broncos for many, many years, majority of my life. That was probably the most embarrassing loss I've ever seen. Really, really embarrassing. And now the Broncos are the biggest laughing stock in the entire NFL. I mean, you've seen all over Twitter, all over social media. The amount of Broncos hate that's going around is like wildfire. It is absolutely uncontrollable. And I get it. Like, I'm a true Broncos fan, and I was completely embarrassed with what happened yesterday. Other than the first drive. The first drive of the game was awesome, right? They went right down the field. It was perfect execution football. The third down on the Jerry Jeudy, could he have caught it? Yeah, it was good play by 44. The ball could have been on the back shoulder a little bit. I mean, it was kind of like a wide go, but not at the same time. He kind of cut it in a little bit, but I don't know. Where's my state of the Broncos right now? I have no idea. And the biggest part of what happened last night in the 12-9 Colts victory over the Broncos in overtime is that Russell Wilson was awful. He played like absolute dog doo-doo. He was so bad. And if you want to pile on Nathaniel Hackett, if you want to pile on Russell Wilson being washed, whatever. But I disagree that he is washed. He's not washed. The last 4 years at Seattle, he actually put pretty good numbers. And any indication in last year in Seattle when he returned from the thumb injury, his last five games, he was 11-2, 11 touchdowns, two interceptions. At no point was anyone already writing off Russell Wilson as washed quarterback. People were still saying Russell Wilson was a top 10 quarterback. Some even said top five, including me. And when the Broncos got him, I was excited. I was completely excited because his franchise for the past 6 years since Peyton Manning has been in QB purgatory. And have been at the bottom of the barrel and have been sort of irrelevant, no matter what talent they have there. Von Miller was still doing this thing, being an all-pro pass rusher. Justin Simmons, all-pro safety. Demaryius Thomas was there for a few years, still doing it. The Broncos have had talent. This is one of the... If you watch the defensive side, it was really talented, and there's a lot of talent on the offensive side of the football. It's just the quarterback hasn't been getting it done. And you would think with Russell Wilson coming in that it was going to be amazing highlight reel stuff. And it hasn't been. It's been awful. Absolutely awful. Yeah, he's thrown 1,254 yards, but he only threw four TDs. He's got three interceptions, and his QBR is 36.9. Now, I don't really care about stats. I'm not really an analytical person. But when you watch the film, man, it has been horrendous. Seattle, he moved the ball, and then they've made mental mistakes or whatever, right? They lost by 1 point. Literally from, like, fumbling on the goal line twice, a foot being literally a toe out of bounds, a throw that could have been caught, but it was kind of a tough catch by the tight end in Sombert. And then the clock management situation with Nathaniel Hackett. Like, you can bash him all you want. That's fine. Then the very next week, he was sluggish. He looked out of rhythm. Both his starting receiver, KJ and Jeudy, did not play. And Sutton played and had a monstrous game. But other than that, he was 14 for 31, 219 against the Houston Texans, who were probably the worst team in the NFL. But again, the fourth quarter, he ended up pulling a rabbit out of his hat like we're used to seeing and did it. Same thing with San Francisco. I thought San Francisco was a great defense. I still think they're one of the top teams in the NFC. But again, it was a no-show and it was a terrible performance until the fourth quarter again on that last drive. Then week four against the Raiders, I thought the offense was actually moving in paces. He was making good throws. Were there mistakes? Yes. But he was getting his job done, and the Melvin Gordon fumble was the difference in the game. I mean, there's been so many self-inflicting wounds on this team. It's crazy. It's crazy. And that could be done with coaching. But last night, say what you want about Nathaniel Hackett, his play designs were really good. Russell Wilson just sucked. Missed so many throws. The last play in particular just didn't even look KJ or Judy's way. Look, I don't know what's the deal with Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, why Russell Wilson's not giving them the football. Those guys are open. Like, there was many times where KJ has been open. Many, many times. On that one, in the first interception where he just sailed it, KJ was open. On that third and 10 down at, or he was third and 16, down in the red zone in the third quarter after a Matt Ryan interception, he throws it to Jerry Jeudy. He just overthrows him. Then in the first half, where Jerry Jeudy runs a cricket route, a cricket nine, instead of throwing it flat, he throws it vertical, and the safety is able to catch up to Jerry Jeudy and make the play on it. It's completely bad, and I don't know what it is with Russell Wilson. Is he washed? No, I certainly don't think so. But what the hell has happened to Russell Wilson? That's the biggest question in the room. Is it his finger? Is it his broken finger? Has he not recovered from that? I have no idea. Is he getting coached up? We have no idea. And if you're going to act there and act like you know, and this is all going to be a rust, you're an absolute idiot and don't know football. We don't even know what's going on in the locker room or in the film room or what's being taught in the quarterback's room. But this all falls on Russell Wilson. He was supposed to be the leader of this team. The fan base doesn't have any, you know, alliance to him. They didn't draft him. He came in on a trade. Whether Seattle has won the trade, it remains to be seen. And if you're going to sit here and tell me Seattle's better off with Russell Wilson, you're full of shit. You're an idiot. I know Geno Smith's been killing it, but come on, against the Falcons. Against the Lions, those defenses have literally cones out there. I say what it is. And I have waited to make my assumption on this offense for 5 weeks now. And I've been patient, and Russell Wilson needs to do something about it. Because he has been missing throws, missing reads, not trusting what he sees. He looks down. When he gets under pressure, he doesn't move. I don't know what it is. He shows signs of moveness. Like, he has the speed and quickness still. Is he as speedy? No, but he still can move out of the pocket. There was a few scrambles that he just took off and got 18 yards and 10 yards and first downs here and there. There was a lot of that. But in the passing game, he's complete garbage. Is he trying to be more of a passer? I don't know. Is he just not doing the things that he's being taught? Who knows? And what makes me very frustrated about this is that the Broncos decided to pay him, like, after the preseason. That's telling me that throughout camp, that Russ was doing everything that Russell Wilson should. That everything was good for them. That he was balling out during camp. Because you don't just give a quarterback a brand new deal without him just stepping into the locker room and you just not having any, you know, film study on him after a big trade like that. When he still had 2 years, 2 big-time years under his deal. He's still making $25 to $30 million this year and then next year. And look, if you hate him because of his corniness and he's too cringy for you, sure, I get that. But don't call him a phony, because you don't know what it's like in the locker room. And I don't know what it's like in the locker room. And it's unfair to make that assumption about whether his teammates hate him or not. You can point back to your Seattle days, but the guy that's been saying that is a cornerback that is very smack talkish and has been burned a couple times and kind of cost the Super Bowl for the San Francisco 49ers. So, like, you could... If that's going to be your guy that you're going to say that the teammates don't like him, then so be it. But I'm sure DK Metcalf liked him. I'm sure Tyler Lockett liked him. I'm sure Will Disley liked him. I'm sure with their differences that Pete Carroll likes him. Will this get better? I have no idea. What is going to happen in the next 11 days before they play again on Monday Night Football? I get everyone's tired of seeing them on primetime. I'm tired of seeing them play too. I'm very tired of it. Am I going to, you know, take my allegiance somewhere else? No, I'm still going to be a diehard Bronco fan. But Russell Wilson played like shit last night, and I got to call it like I see it. He played absolutely awful. That was the worst performance of the year by far in the first five games. That was awful. And Indianapolis, man, like, they looked bad too, but... With Denver, that defense balled out. Like, that's a legit defense. If you want to say, oh, they just played a bad Colts team, all right, sure, but they got six sacks on the Colts, two interceptions. They should have won that football game. They can't do everything. This offense has to come through. I don't know when it's going to come, but it has to. Will it come? I have no idea. Is Nathaniel Hackett going to be the guy to resurge this thing? I have no idea. I hope he is. I hope him, Justin Outen, and Clint Kubiak figure it out. But they're going to have to figure out with a lot of... I mean, Garrett Bowles broke his leg last night. Baron Browning's day-to-day with a wrist. Ronald Darby tore his ACL. We know about Javonte Williams tearing his ACL and PCL and all those other things. Tim Patrick tearing his ACL. They're down their starting right guard. They're down their starting right tackle. I mean, it is injury central with these guys. Their slot corner's out. Their middle linebacker's out. Josie Jewell again. To where Alex Singleton's out there missing tackles. And the play designs have been fine. I like Nathaniel Hackett's play designs. First and second down have been kind of atrocious. To where the Broncos are stuck in third and long and they can't really do anything. And then you have these cool play designs where you have a double post and the safety bites on the underneath post, and then KJ's open on the top. Instead, we throw the check down to tight end, and it's just like you're scratching your head going, WTF. Is this the worst team in the NFL? No, absolutely not. Is this the worst team in the division? Right now, probably, because of number three. Is he washed? I don't think so. He has the talent to do it. He's got to make better throws. He's got to be a better passer if they're going to rely on his passing game. Here's the thing about Nathaniel Hackett, too, is that what he could do a good job is like moving the pocket and making better reads. Look, if the Broncos just scrapped their entire playbook and just did five plays that they like, I'm cool with that. As long as it's the five plays that they're most effective with, and they just keep running those same five plays, it's better than what they're doing right now. And again, falls under the quarterback. Now, if you're going to make that stupid assumption that this team is better off with Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock, that's an absolute asinine statement too. Because those two guys, I don't even think the Broncos put a single point on the board with this, with the way things are. I mean, there's open guys. I'm sure they would hit them. I'm sure they would see the throws that Russell Wilson is supposed to make. But Russell Wilson's not doing it. He is being gun shy. He is misreading everything. He is just throwing just to throw, I think, sometimes. And he's only trusting one guy right now. And then the other times he's going to his tight end. Like, give Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler the football more. It's not that hard. I hope he's getting his ass chewed out today. He's taking the heat on social media, but you watch the film, it's bad. It's really bad. It's terrible. Dan Orlovsky did a great breakdown on it on his Twitter. You can find it, of the last play. Why he didn't look to the left in man coverage on that pick route, which is what it's supposed to be designed to do, I have no idea. I really don't. Maybe he had a predetermination about going to the football with Cortland Sutton, but that brings back my other point. Trust Judy and KJ Hamler more. Because then, if this keeps going on, those guys are going to be sold out, and they're going to want to go elsewhere, and then you're back in the same boat of just shuffling out talent like they have been for the past 6 years. The Denver Broncos are close to being just as irrelevant as the Jets right now. And the problem is, Denver's going to have to deal with this for the next 7 years with Russell Wilson. And if he doesn't get better, then it's going to be the longest 7 years that I'm going to have to deal with as a Broncos fan. They play the Chargers in 11 days on Monday Night Football. I don't know if it's going to be better. I don't know if it's going to be worse. I bet you people are already betting on the Chargers to blow them out. Which, kudos to you, because I certainly don't know who's going to be dressing for this team when it comes to the injury report. Randy, I mean, come on. The two bright sides of this is that the defense is balling because of Surtain, who's having an all-pro season. You can make an argument that he's the best corner in the NFL. You really could. He has been awesome. And then the other one is Bradley Chubb is actually playing like a top five pick. I mean, he was in that backfield all night last night, and he's had four sacks. And Baron Browning was great. And I'm sure if Randy Gregory was out there, he didn't have to deal with a knee issue. I'm sure Randy Gregory would have tore up that left tackle, too, for the Indianapolis Colts. It's just frustrating because this team is really performing on defense, and there's things to be had on the offense, and number three is just not taking it. And I'm sure this ain't going to be the last because, you know, I hear it from Philadelphia fans. I hear it from the people I work with over at CBS Sports HQ that are like Jets fans and Bears fans, and they're coming up to me and be like, let's ride, yeah. I ain't happy. I am frustrated just as much as you are that I have to watch this team. I have to watch this team more than you guys do. You just have to watch them six times. I'm going to be watching 17 of their games the whole season. I'm going to be watching the whole season because that's what a loyal fan does. I love this team. But right now, man, my faith is slowly dwindling, and I do not see the light at the end of the tunnel right now. Because of Russell Wilson and his inept play to play the quarterback position in 2022-2023 season. All right. I think I did a good job on that. Let's move over to college football. I'm going to pick some games here. Big weekend in college football. Stinkiest line of the whole entire slate is number 8 Tennessee traveling to LSU. That line is at 2.5. Tennessee is favored. It is wonky, but if I had to choose, I wouldn't bet this game, but if I had to choose, I would pick Tennessee to get it done. They do have a look-ahead spot with Alabama next week, so maybe it's a big-time look-ahead spot. Certainly, that's a thing in college football, but if I had to choose, I would choose the Volunteers. TCU and Kansas, boy, man, with the way the CFP 100 went last year with us just – me and Ant just rooting for Kansas. This would have been a prime year to have that show keep going on because Kansas now is ranked 19th. They play TCU team, Kansas, plus 6.5 dogs at home. I feel like everyone's buying into Kansas right now, which makes me scared. But if I was going to take any number, I'd probably take the over 69. I think these two offenses are going to put up a lot of points. I hope Kansas wins the game. Just keep this storybook, like the magical Cinderella story going, especially for a program that's been inept for the past 10 years and so on. I really want Kansas to win this game, but I do think TCU would win. I'm not going to bet on TCU, But if I were to bet, I would bet the over 69-point score because I think both offenses are going to be awesome. And that's the game to watch in that 12 o'clock window. Auburn-Georgia, I think Georgia kills them. Texas-Oklahoma, that's a weird, funky game now because of the way Oklahoma has played. They just looked ill-prepared and not a coach team. That's what they look like right now with Brett Venables in the first year. And this is not a good start for Oklahoma. If Quinn Ewers comes back, I don't know the story. Maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't play. But if he plays, I love Texas. I think it was at they were 7-point favorites. I do think they're going to win the ball game because Oklahoma's defense looks so bad right now. Utah-UCLA, sneaky game. Utah in the look-ahead spot with USC coming up next week at home. UCLA is a good team that can match up with Utah physically when it comes to brutal run strength and being physical on the defensive side. I do like the Bruins in that one. I think it will be a field goal game. The line right now is Utah 3.5. I would take UCLA plus the points. Give it to me. Ohio State, Michigan. I think Ohio State blows them out. BYU, Notre Dame in Vegas. I think BYU wins that game even though Notre Dame is favored. I don't know why Notre Dame is favored, but I would take BYU in that spot. Alabama is going to blow out Texas A&M. Texas A&M is not a good football team. They're really not. And then NC State coming off a loss against Florida State, who also lost to Wake Forest. I think NC State wins that game. So those are kind of the biggest games in college football right now. I would have gone more in depth, but not really going to. Let's move over to the Sunday picks for week five. Excuse me. Giants-Packers in London. Listen, man, the Packers' run D has been getting ran on, and Saquon Barkley's coming in on an absolute tear. So Green Bay -8, I would take the Giants with the points. I don't know who's going to play quarterback for them, but Saquon's been a monster, and if they run Wildcat, maybe Green Bay doesn't slow him down. It would be good for New York and the Giants to get that victory over the Packers, but I do think Aaron Rodgers would step up. What kind of Packers are we getting? I have no idea. But I will take the Packers to win. I'll take the Giants with the points. I think it might be a close game. Why not? 1 o'clock slate. Steelers-Bills. Steelers 14-point underdogs going into Buffalo. I don't know what Steelers team you're going to get. I don't know what Buffalo team you're going to get. Because Buffalo has had kind of an interesting past 2 weeks. Losing to Miami in that gut-wrenching fashion when they've had 39 minutes with the football. And, you know, with the Steelers, with Kenny Pickett going up against Leslie Frazier defense, I don't know who's going to be in or out for the Bills, but I can't see the Steelers not covering a 14-point spread. Look, in NFL, 14-point spreads aren't really common. And if they are, it's usually closer than everyone thinks it is. That's how it's been. Chargers-Browns, I love the Browns in this one because the Browns' run game is great and the Chargers can't stop the run at all. But then again, the Browns got ran all over against the Falcons, and the Chargers found somewhat of their running game against the Houston Texans with Austin Eckler. But if I would pick a side, I would choose the Browns. Bears-Vikings, I would lean Minnesota that way. I do think Minnesota is going to have one of these games where they just blow out somebody that's really bad because they have been playing really close with some of these guys. They haven't been impressive so far, but I do think they'll put it on the Bears. Lions-Patriots, Patriots wearing the old Patriot pad or whatever it is, those red uniforms with the funky guy on the side of the helmet. 3-point favorite. Give me the Lions. I do think it will be a high-scoring game, though, with Bailey Zappe. I think they'll turn it a little bit with Bailey Zappe. But who knows? Maybe the Pats will want to run the ball, keep the Lions off the field, because that Lions defense really can't stop anybody. Seahawks-Saints. I kind of like the Saints in that one. But then again, Andy Dalton starting. I thought Andy Dalton played pretty well when he stepped in the London game last week against Minnesota. But with Seattle, like I said, they're doing what they wanted to do, is run the ball and be effective with Geno Smith at QB. The quarterback situation, the defensive side of the ball, I have no idea because they're kind of, you know, weak at that area. But I would take Seahawks with the points, +5. Why not? I think it'll be a close game. Dolphins-Jets, give me the
Dolphins. Falcons, Buccaneers. Falcons are going to be down some people. I think this will be the game where the Bucs come out and play. Same with Cameron Brate. Cameron Brate's going to be out. Titans, Commanders. This line is stinky. Titans minus two. I do think the Commanders are one of the worst football teams in America. I think Carson Wentz is going to be sacked a lot of times because that Titans defensive front. So I'll choose the Titans. Jaguars, Texans. This line's kind of funky. Minus seven. I'm not convinced that the Jags are fully back, but I do think they could win this football game. Houston's won the past four games against them, so it'll be interesting. And look, I think Houston has been pretty scrappy, so maybe they make it a close game. I wouldn't touch it. Maybe they don't make it a close game. Plus the weather in Florida. Who knows with that? 49ers, Panthers. I think the 49ers smoked the Panthers. It's not even close. Cowboys, Rams. I do think the Cowboys keep it close with Cooper Rush. They've been playing really good football, and that defense has been lights out. And not this Rams offense has yet to click. Matthew Stafford's just going to Cooper Kupp, and that's it. Really is. I wouldn't be shocked if the Cowboys win that ball game. That would be my lean. I would lean towards the Cowboys. But then again, how's the Rams defense going to play? Cooper Rush has been playing pretty dang good. He just hasn't. We're waiting for that downfall game to where, oh, that's why that's Cooper Rush. We haven't seen it yet. Will we see it this weekend? I don't think so. I think Cowboys could win that game outright. Eagles, Cardinals. I think the Eagles' offensive and defensive lines just outmatch the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are going to have a tough time. Even though they're wearing those awesome black helmets with those black uniforms, which I do think those should be the primary uniforms for the Cardinals. But I don't know. I do think Philly's going to stay undefeated at 5-0. I do. Awesome Sunday night game, Bengals, Ravens, battle for the AFC North. I do think the Bengals will take advantage of that passing unit against the Baltimore Ravens, but I do think the Baltimore Ravens will be able to chew the clock and control it with that offense with Lamar Jackson, because I don't think the Bengals defense has been as stout as they were in the playoffs last year. I will take Baltimore in that spot at home. The Monday Night Football, Raiders, Chiefs. Kind of like the Raiders in that one. I know everyone's so high on the Chiefs right now. 7-point favorites. They looked awesome against Tampa Bay. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I will take the Raiders. Josh Jacobs played really well last week, and I think they found their formula, and Josh McDaniels has kind of installed what he wants this offense to be with the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders. And they feed Devontae Adams the football. They fed him 9 out of 10 times last week. Just give Devontae Adams the football, get Josh Jacobs the football, and that should be successful. Maybe Darren Waller steps up. We've been kind of waiting on Darren Waller, but, I think the Raiders have had success against Kansas City. I know last year they had that flop of a game in the middle of the season, but I kind of do like the Raiders in this spot. So, all right. Thanks for listening to my spiel about the Broncos. I know everyone, I kind of haven't really replied to anybody yet. I've just been kind of in dead air. I haven't tweeted anything since last night. I'm a very frustrated Broncos fan, and Russell Wilson is just not doing it right now. He is the main point of this offense. I think the offense is fine. Like I said, I think the play designs are great. They do need to get better on first and second down. The offensive line needs to do a better job of protecting Russell Wilson, as it should be. They're having some miscues with the communication with Russell Wilson when it comes to checks and slide protections. One of those instances came on when they were inside the 10 and Russell Wilson got sacked, but it comes down to three, dude. Now the pressure's all on you. Are you going to ball out and prove people wrong? Is this coaching staff going to get on you? Like, they should. And you need to have the game of your life on Monday Night Football, because if you throw up another stinker against a divisional opponent, God have mercy on you, because the heat is going to be at an all-time high, and you're at a place where the fan base is not really devoted to you. You came in to be the savior, and you're not, and they will turn very fast on you. So, all right, that's the show. We'll see you guys next week. Hopefully Brandon comes back. We'll talk more football, and adios. We'll see you next week. We're out of here.